Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Thursday, August the 23rd. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 100, starting with the first paragraph, Both You and the New Man, and we'll be reading one paragraph only. The comments will be just on that paragraph. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Cindy D., the 12 Traditions, Faye F., and readers of the text are Terry H., Kathy Jo P., and Elaine T. The share ID for Wednesday, August the 22nd, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 11,823. That's 11823. And for Thursday, August the 23rd, 7 a.m. meeting is 11,827. That's 11827. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience and strength and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Cindy D. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Cindy D., grateful recovering compulsive overeater from Texas. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service. I pass.
Thank you, Cindy D., and I will now ask Faye F. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Faye F. 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. For every purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trustful servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry a message to compulsive overeaters who still suffer. 6. An OA group or never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, unless problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such will never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name will never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Thank you, Faye F. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 100, the first paragraph. Both you and the new man, and we'll be reading that one paragraph only, and comments will be on that paragraph. I will now ask Terry H. to get us started.
Hi, thanks. My name is Terry H., a recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic, anorexic in North Carolina. Very grateful today, a beautiful fall day here in the Carolinas. All right, both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When you look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances. Wow, that is a powerful paragraph and a lot in there, and promises. That have come true for me as a recovered woman. I like what it says about spiritual progress. When I came into OA and worked the steps and through that process, I was connecting to my higher power and working, you know, figuring out and defining and creating what that was for me in my recovery. And that constantly grows each and every day. So it's spiritual progress each and every day. If I persist, if I continue to take actions and do the work and do the work in recovery, you know, great things will happen. You know, these are promises that have come true for me. You know, some days when I'm trying to do it Terry's way, I can get all tangled up in a hot mess. And when I can take a pause and stay connected to my higher power and take a pause and seek that guidance and direction, you know, remarkable things do happen. It's not always according to Terry's plan, but remarkable things do happen. Follow the dictates of a higher power and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world. My life, my world has taken off since I became a recovered woman. You know, through this process, I was asked to leave my home. I broke up in a relationship. You know, my son and I are back and forth. You know, I'm working a job that's pretty stressful, 16 hours a day. But all through that, you know, remarkable things have happened. And, you know, I'm working with sponsees, and they're growing, and they're working their program and their recovery. And it's just amazing to be a part of that and to see how their higher power is working in their life. You know, my life is busier than it's ever been because I'm living my life with my higher power. I do triathlons. I work. I travel. you know, I camp, I hike, and it's just been amazing. Spending time with my family has been amazing. And, you know, I give it all to my connection with my higher power, because that is where it is, in recovery. And so, you know, these promises have come true for me. And, you know, I learned, my sponsor shared this with me, I have the ability to live joyous, happy, and free no matter what is going on around me. You know, so no matter all that chaos that's going on around me, I have the ability to live joyous and happy, free. And so, you know, I'm really grateful for my recovery and working those steps, putting down those foods, you know, staying connected to my food plan, and knowing what that nutrition brings for me. It brings me life. And I'm just really grateful for that. So I encourage all the newcomers to hang in there and continue to, you know, do the work, take the actions. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
And thank you, Terry H. And I'll just remind everybody where we are. We're on page 100, the first paragraph, both you and the new man. We'll just comment on that paragraph only, and I'll now take names of those who'd like to share.
Sunny S.
I say that again. Sunny?
Sunny S.
Sunny S.
Polly B.
Polly B.
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Sherry KB.
Liz.
Sherry KB.
Liz T.
Lou. Say that again.
Liz. Liz.
Liz.
L-I-Z. T is in town.
Okay. Liz T. Got it. Thank you. Got to get my ears checked. Any more?
D-K.
D-K. All right, we'll stop there.
Andrea.
Oh,
Andrea,
who was that?
S.
Andrea S.
S.
Okay, gotcha, Andrea. Sunny S, Polly B, Wendy B, Sherry KB. Ooh, three B's in a row. Liz T, DK, and Andrea S. Good group. Here we go. Sunny S, you're on.
Hi, thank you. May I be heard? This is Sunny S.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
Great. Yeah, I'm recovered in Colorado. I mean, reading this paragraph is just incredibly powerful. You know, spiritual progress and put ourselves in God's hands. The way I relate to it is, I mean, my most present experience, which is a couple of days ago, I was told that I'm going to be let gone from my job. And, you know, it's amazing how yesterday morning I was in all this ego, you know, about how humiliating it would be to go in there knowing that I only have 30 days and, you know, it would just hurt my self-esteem and all these things. And then I was thinking, wait a minute, you know, how can I be of service to others? And it just clicked for me. You know, I was hired to make a contribution to the company. I wasn't hired to get my ego fed. And so just amazingly how, you know, that warmth of higher power and tranquility was able to come over me just by putting myself out there, you know, instead of in me. How can I get, you know, my self-esteem met, or how can I get me? And it wasn't about that anymore. It's about the fact that I'm doing service to this world, and in this particular way, I'm in God's hands by showing up and being a student and being a learner and, you know, doing what this training program that they put me on for 30 days and doing the best of my ability, and then until the moment comes where I'm going to have to walk out. But it's just amazing. I mean, the way it just calmed my nerves all of a sudden, and I was able to just work my program and do life. And so, you know, relating back to this paragraph, I mean, yeah, it is progress. It's not perfect. It does start with a lot of ego. And then, but those spaces become shorter and shorter, you know, the transitioning from inside to outside. So follow the dictates of a higher power. You will presently live in a new, wonderful world. I truly believe that that will be true for me, too. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sunny S. Polly B., followed by Wendy B.
Thank you, moderator, for your service. This is Polly B.
I'm very grateful to be alive on this beautiful day in North Carolina. This paragraph speaks to me of hope and reminds me of a story I've heard on this line, an analogy of when the compulsive overeater addict is in their drug. They're down in a deep, dark, black hole, and the doctor walks by and says, "You got a problem. You better get out of there." And the nutritionist says, "Follow this diet, and you'll be able to climb out of there," et cetera, et cetera. The sponsor comes by with a ladder, puts the ladder down there, gets down there, and helps this addict climb out of the dark hole. And I pay attention to pronouns in the big book because the voice shifts sometimes. It's you, the sponsor, and here it's we, you, the sponsor, and the person who you're guiding. And then I think it's a more general we, of we all recovered, we all working in recovery. And so the place I see these we people is at the edge of that hole. They've just climbed out, and the person who's been down there can stand on their own feet. And the sponsor's there with a flashlight and saying, "Come on, let's walk over here. It's not far. There's a path." And now we're we walking together. And I remember that glimmer of awareness when I got there out of the hole and I could breathe again and see the light and see the greens and see people smiling and smile myself. And that sponsor just kept me going because he knew I had to keep going down that path. And there were so many other people there to help. And so that's what this paragraph says to me, and I'll pick up. Thank you.
Thank you, Polly B. Wendy B., followed by Sherry K.B.
Yeah, hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And I just love this paragraph, you know, where it says, "Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances." And I recently surrendered my work schedule to God. I had previously had to have such a tight control, you know, scheduling everything out to the minute, stressing out over changes, and wanting security from a stable schedule. And in my new line of work, I'm a in-home caregiver. The schedule's always changing, you know, and clients are no longer needing our services, and new clients with different needs are being added on. And I have to learn to let go, you know, to recognize God and my supervisor are the ones in charge of my schedule. And I just get to relax, you know, and go where I'm needed. And I get to say yes when I'm needed for a new client and embrace the opportunity to be a blessing to them, and to bring my recovered self into the situation to meet the challenge, you know, and I get to trust daily that I'm exactly where my higher power wants to use me to minister to the need. You know, and there's so much more satisfaction and fulfillment knowing I'm right where God wants me. And I'm no longer, you know, trying to get my security needs met by external circumstances, but I'm rooted and grounded in God. And I get to see him flowing through me. And this is just a wonderful way to live. And I recommend it to everyone. That's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. Sherry K.B., followed by Liz T. Sherry.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry K.B. in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And thanks so much for your service, Mo, and everybody on the line. And welcome, newcomers. I love this paragraph. I really do. I love this paragraph because it's telling me that I must continue to be a sponsor, be a step guide, so that I can walk with and help a new person become a new person. That's, I noticed this morning it says in the new man or the new woman, because we become new people when we do this work. That's what, and I must do this. It's telling me I must sponsor. I must take people through this book in order for my spiritual progress to continue. And theirs as well. And that if I persist, remarkable things will happen. And they have. And you know, when for me, as it says, looking back, I mean, you just read these words and they're just magical. That, you know, things came to us that I couldn't have done myself. When I put myself in God's care, when I'm not running the Sherry Show and I put myself in my higher power's hands, remarkable things do happen. Things that I couldn't do before start happening. Things that, you know, not only just in my personal life, and yes, there are joyful things and a lot of wonderful things happen. Relationships get mended. I start to see things in a totally different way because I'm really putting my will into God's hands. I'm putting, you know, my self-will, my self-reliance in my higher power's hands. And so if I follow my higher power's will, I do live in a new world. I have totally different eyes when I do it through the lenses of my higher power. And living in some difficult situations, it's still amazing to me what can happen and what I can do. And, you know, it's telling me that these things will happen, and these are actually 12-step promises is what they are. These are one of the 12-step promises. And this is just so beautiful because I don't know about you, but when I've done something, I wasn't always guaranteed that the outcome would be this way. But that's what happens with this work, is that if you do this work and you work on yourself in these steps with a sponsor and you sponsor, wonderful things will happen. And that's why I love this work and just so grateful for all of you. And with that, I pass. Thank you. Thank God for God.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Liz T., followed by DK.
Hi, good morning. This is Liz T., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota, and just reading this paragraph and reflecting a little bit. I've been abstinent now 8 months and recovered 6 months, and that was after a couple crash courses in the steps and dealing with relapse and the pain of, you know, the powerlessness of this disease, and as a disease progresses, my continued powerlessness and of other, even though the food is down, the powerlessness in the other areas of my life, I'm powerless but not helpless. There are days I feel powerless over my character defects, relationship issues, and I just cling tight to, you know, how big is my God? How big is my God? If he's kept me out of the food now for 8 months, pretty much contently. You know, I have my moments where I want to seek some ease and comfort. And if I'm not getting that effect out of the step work and I'm looking somewhere else, I know I'm going to be in trouble. And I'm just so grateful that I can get that effect and ease and comfort from the step work. And reaching out to many of you on the line that have been helping me with 10 steps and going through some difficult things, and nothing's really a tragedy. It's just those little ankle biter things, the day-to-day challenges of parenting, parenting a tween when I'm a toddler in this program myself, you know, insecurities, self-doubt, things like that. And there's so many loving hands out there that have been just guiding me. And so I'm really grateful for that. You know, the part about progress, I just did a quick search in my big book on my phone, and it shows up in the big book 11 times, is what it's saying, in the first 164. And I am kind of curious now to go back and, you know, make note of it every time progress shows up, because it really is progress. I'm not, you know, I'm a perfectionist, and that shows up in my character defect. And so on page 60, I'm reminded that we claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. And sometimes I hear that phrase thrown around in the rooms, you know, progress, not perfection. Oh, you know, just start over tomorrow. Well, I tried that for a long time, you know, and that's maybe with the pitches at the front of the room, you know, take what you want, leave the rest. But when it comes to the instructions in the book, I need to keep following these if I want to be free, if I want to be free of the torment of my self-will that kills. My self-will run riot, will kill me. And I'll eventually pick up the food and who knows what can happen. You know, I have to be very grounded in my step one and my powerlessness, but I'm not helpless. There's action. There's always action. And you guys are helping me taking those toddler baby steps. Thank you. I will pass.
Thank you, Liz T. DK, followed by Andrea S.
DK?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I pushed start one and then I didn't hear anything.
Okay.
I am so delighted to be able to share because I totally believe in service. And I love this one sentence in that paragraph. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. And, you know, when I came in to program in 2008, I know that they kept saying things will slowly be revealed to you and surrender. And, you know, you don't really know what you don't know. And I thought that I had surrendered, but I was, you know, had to take a pause and I was doing an AWOL. I really realized I was so self-absorbed. And, you know, I really wasn't trusting and surrendering my will completely to God. And, you know, when I started to do that, my world really opened up so much more. I just can't believe it. I don't have to be in control. And, you know, letting go and letting God, that little slogan that we talk about, has given me such a freedom. I've been able to really stay abstinent by doing service and working all my tools. I've had my husband pass 2 years ago, and I've moved to a different state, and I've been able to stay abstinent. Thank you, God. And, you know, it's really, it's the service thing that, you know, we just really have to give of ourselves, you know, what we've been given. And, you know, I it's so wonderful, really, when you let go. And it seems like when I surrender my will to God, because I am a control freak, things just happen so much smoothly. You know, not that I don't have things that I still have to deal with, because life still happens to us. But it's just so, I like what someone said. I don't know if they said joy or serenity, but it's so peaceful. And I'm just so grateful to be able to share. And I love studying the big book. You know, when I first joined, it said, you know, this is a text to study. And I thought, but, you know, I realized it's so powerful. And it has kept me on the path. I never thought I could still be in a normal sized body, you know, 24 hours later. But thank you for letting me share. And keep up doing the good work. This is DK from Indiana.
And thank you, DK. Andrea S., and then we'll be opening the line up for more after that.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Andrea S., recovering compulsive eater from Arizona. I love, love, love this paragraph, like so many of you have said, because it does speak to the promises that I remember new in program. I couldn't believe the things that I was hearing that reflected miracles for people that had nothing to do with food. But I totally embraced the last sentence, following the dictates of a higher power, and you will live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances. Well, for a long time, I struggled with the concept of knowing what my higher power wanted from me. And of course that knowingness came from a decision, first of all, to surrender and to open up my heart and to listen, to define who and what my higher power was, and then to begin to develop some awareness of how my higher power was speaking to me. And so the way that I've made sense of that for me is to define my higher power as an unconditionally loving parent who wants only for me to experience joy, happiness, and freedom in this lifetime. That needs to be my purpose for my life in this physical body, is to share happiness, joy, freedom, inspiration with others. And I can only do that if I am emotionally aligned with those emotions. And so I use my emotions, which is what I how I define spiritual progress, as my GPS and my radar to tell me, to teach me how am I on track with God's will for me, or am I out of sorts right now because of this or this or this. And if I'm out of sorts, then my responsibility is to find a way to realign myself with happiness, joy, with, you know, the consciousness of love and service and enlightenment, if you will. So this paragraph really brings back the power of powerlessness and the beauty of total surrender. And it makes so clear to me that my ego is what kept me in my addiction. My ego is what keeps me away from the miracles of the program. And as long as I'm aware of whether I'm, you know, whether I'm in a spiritual place or whether my ego has come back and asserted its willfulness, then I can do this program. And so I'm grateful for this. This is my first time on this call. I just heard about this call recently. So I'm glad to be in the gang and to hear such inspiring messages. And Mo, thank you for your service, and thanks all of you who shared. I'll pass. Andrea from Arizona.
Andrea, welcome. Thank you for sharing. All right, I'll remind everyone where we are. We're on page 100, for starting with the first paragraph, both you and the new man, and the comments will be on that paragraph only, and I will take some more names for sharing.
Reggie O.
Nancy L.
Gina R.
Patty T.
Kelly N.
Eileen F.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm missing a few here. Okay, let me go. Reggie O, and there was someone after Reggie O. I missed you right in there.
Nancy L.
Nancy L. Thank you, Nancy. Then I have Gina R., Patty T. Then I missed someone before Eileen.
Kathy G.
Kelly N.
Okay, we'll stop there, Kathy G. I'll try to get you in, Kelly.
Okay.
Okay. I have Reggie O, Nancy L, Gina R, Patty T, Kathy G, Eileen. I've missed your last initial, Kelly M. All right, we'll start with Reggie O, followed by Nancy L.
Hi, good morning, Mo and everybody. Mo, thanks so much for your service and everybody who's sharing and present on the line this morning. And my name is Reggie O. I live in the Los Angeles area. And I am so grateful for this path of spiritual progress. And this is a beautiful paragraph. I didn't realize it until we read it this time, but it I think it's one of my two or three most favorite paragraphs in the book. And it reminded me of a couple of things that also stood out for me as I've gone through the book multiple times. And the first, you know, beginning with the doctor's opinion, in nearly all cases, their ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves if they are to recreate their lives. And this paragraph, to me, speaks of a life that is recreating. It has been recreating and continues to grow and make progress. And the other one was, we had to fearlessly face the proposition that either God is everything or else he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. What was our choice to be? And, you know, that choosing God, choosing that higher path as a way of life, you know, every day and everything I think say and do and recognizing, as someone else says, that it is a path of progress. It's not a path of perfection, because there is always a place to grow. And I find that remarkable. Remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things that came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. And I was thinking of two things in my own life. And the first was years ago when I was in program and I was recovered, living back in Boston. And I was in a change in career and didn't know where I was going, just knew it was something I had to be passionate about. And I was really tight with you know, God, and I woke up one morning with this voice coming through me, telling me where I was going to go back to grad school and where and what I was going to do, and it was nothing I had ever dreamed of, considered, wanted, thought, but it was so real, and I trusted it, and I went back. I did do that, and I started the action. I sent out an application. I was at that school the following year. One of the best decisions I've ever made in my, life, professional life, and there's something that I would have never done, never considered, and last week I was told that I need to leave where I'm living, and my landlord's older daughter's coming back, moving back into the area, and is going to take the place where I live. And I'm amazed at my response, because I'm just amazed at my response, because I just thought, okay, and as I reflected on it, I have not been concerned. The thing is, there's so much unknown, and it takes my breath, and I don't know how it's going to happen. But I haven't agonized. I have felt faithful and hopeful, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Reggie O. Nancy L., followed by Gina R.
Good morning. This is Nancy from Arizona calling in, and follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances. I used to always think, well, my world is so unwonderful, I got to eat. I've got to have something to get me through these circumstances. But no, these promises are saying no matter what, if I put myself in my higher power's hands and trust him and do what he's asked me to do, that I can live in a wonderful world. I've got new eyes. I can see more beauty. I can hear the music better when I'm not stuffing myself with food. And I'm getting ready to do an uncomfortable trip here in a couple days. My son turns 29 on the 29th, and my husband and I are going to travel up to our old home, Colorado, to see him. And he, we have not seen him for like 18 months, and he has been living on the streets for about 7.5 years. And it breaks our heart, but we want to take him out to lunch and have a nice time. And, as a mom, I'm going to be courageous and strong and put myself in God's hands, and I'm not going to fall apart. I don't know, maybe he's got teeth missing. I used to work in the dental field. My kids' teeth were always perfect, but who knows? I don't know. I'm powerless, but I am not powerless when it comes to me displaying to him that his mother is now recovered, and he grew up with a raging raging foodaholic, and I have certainly given him my apologies and living amends, but anyway, with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy L. Gina R., followed by Patty T.
Good morning, Mo, and everybody. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body in Arizona. Arizona's representing this morning. Yay. Liz T. actually said something that prompted me to jump on here and share, and she was talking about being a toddler raising tweens. And part of my walk in all of this is realizing that, my entry into the world and my subsequent environment was not the optimal situation. And I used that for many, many years to blame all sorts of things about what my life looked like. And I actually did share more in detail on this in a special edition last December, but I wanted to thank her for her share, because it made me remember, I've gone through these different stages of development. I was a helpless baby thinking I was defective, I'm worthless, I can't help it. that went into the blaming bully, thinking they'll reject me and I'll show them. And I developed all sorts of those character defects to make that happen. Then, you know, in my later in my life, I was a bossy helper. You know, you didn't know what you needed until I told you. And then I would tell you, and then I would give you instructions on how to make it happen. And then the shift happened. That's when it all broke apart. And I came face to face with who I am and what this disease had done to me, and have now transferred or transmuted all of that other experience to, I am now an empowering ally. I trust that I will grow from anything that happens for me. Nothing happens to me. I'm a respected leader now. People trust me and they ask me for help. I don't have to lay it on them. I just sit back, wait. It's the attraction, not promotion piece of this program, and God orchestrates the rest. And today I get to be what is called a conscious kid. Everything I need is and will be provided. God works through me and for me. And that's my goal. That's my goal, is to simply continue suiting up, showing up, doing my daily work, transmitting this message, which is love, and shining the light on the path for others. So grateful for this, and this is an amazing paragraph, and with that I pass.
Thank you, Gina R. Patty T., followed by Kathy G.
Hi, thank you, Mo, for your service. This is Patty T. from Southern California. Wow, this paragraph is rich. Mm-hmm. The first thing that strikes me is the first sentence. Both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. And, you know, each day that I work with a sponsee, you know, we're not, I'm reminded that we're not all that different. We're not different at all. We're all connected. And when I'm hearing about a circumstance and hearing someone realize, oh, that's my character defect of self-pity or self-centered fear or this or that, you know, I'm also reminded of circumstances in my own life, you know, maybe even current ones, that oh, there's my part too. There's my part too. And, you know, that is so helpful to me. It's like I give to them, they give to me reciprocally at the same time without even knowing. And that's how God works, you know. When I look back at the things that came to me when I put myself in God's hands, were better than anything we could have planned. I mean, that is so true. And I mean, I know all of you have experienced that. Sometimes I'm not even able to put it in words, but this whole thing about sponsoring, and, you know, the more I learn to listen to others, the more I also learn to surrender my will and reach out to others and to God. It's so profound. And I just really love where my life is today compared to where it was on April 27th of this year. That's all I can say. And thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Patty T. Kathy G., followed by Eileen. I don't have your last initial, Eileen. But anyway, Patty, let me see, Kathy G. Was there a Kathy G.? Press star 1 to unmute.
Oh, hi, Mo. So sorry about that. I thought I was unmuted. Thanks so much. Great job moderating today. It's Kathy G., recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois, and I just wanted to offer some hope to the newcomers today. I love this paragraph. I have every line underlined in my book. And pardon the noise, I'm in my car, but I just felt like I wanted to share today, because it says, looking back over our past, you know, it's like an inviting God in. We see what he can do, and that we will walk into this new and wonderful life. And I feel like that's what's happening around me. And it's an incredible thing to think back over my past year in recovery, in abstinence, and really feeling everything, feeling, you know, like Harlan always says, we feel fear more, we feel pain more, we feel joy more, we're feeling it all. And a few of the highlights of this, my first year as a recovered person that I walked through were my daughter. I had to call 911 on. We had to go to treatment. I had to put my dog of, you know, 10 years down, and I got a new puppy. And now I'm driving down to the city to move my daughter that was in treatment to Costa Rica. She's moving, and she got a job in Costa Rica. She finished a program and quit her teaching job here, and I'm driving down to help her just get it all together so that she can leave tomorrow. And I'm just so grateful, because it's because of all of you in this program that I am able to be fully present for her today. While I was in the driveway, she just told me, Mom, I got a text, Mom, I'm anxious, I can't. And, you know, I texted her back, and then we talked, and I said, yes, you can, honey. I said, you can, you have everything you need. And I said, plus, you have me today, and I'm coming down, and we can do this together. And I get to be strong for her today. And I told her to take a walk, you know, instead of just worrying about her room that, you know, she's overwhelmed with. And I'm so looking forward to it. I don't have to step into that anxiety. I can step into the freedom and what I've learned and just be an example to her. So anyway, love you all, and thanks so much. Thanks, Mo, and I pass.
Thank you, Kathy G. Eileen. And followed by Kelly M. We have 5 minutes. If you could each take about 2.5.
Sounds good to me. Good morning, Mo. This is Eileen S. in Portland, Oregon. Thank you so much for your service and for everybody's share. Happy to share the time. Wow, I love this paragraph too. And I just was moved to share recently, last week sometime, I was making a 10th step call to somebody, and I was going through my 10th step process, and she suggested that I turn to this page and read this paragraph. And I'd read it before, but it was the perfect thing. So I want to give a shout out for 10th step calls and outreach calls, because it didn't occur to me to look at this. And I've been looking for a job, and I've been going through the interview process, and had some resentment and had some difficulty with some of the processes I've been going through. And as soon as I read, and she reminded me, and this is so true, when I look back, I realize that the things that came to me when I put myself in God's hands were better than anything I could have planned. And that is true about so many different circumstances in my life. So that tells me I don't have to angst about it, because it's going to be taken care of. I don't have to know what it's going to look like. I don't have to know exactly, plan it all and know exactly what I'm supposed to do. Just each moment to moment, I just get to place myself in God's hands and know that whatever happens is God's will, and it's going to be okay. And so I'm just going to continue to follow the dictates of a higher power. Because, and the other thing I was thinking of is, it says, I will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what my present circumstance. And what that brought to mind for me was, I will live in a new and wonderful state of mind, because nothing can change on the outside, but everything changes on the inside. And the other day I had an issue that was going on for me, and I did a 10th step. I didn't need to call someone. Somehow I was able to ask God to remove it. And that was something I could have lamented all day. And I lived in a new and different world. It just shifted when I asked God to remove it. So no matter what my present circumstances at this moment, I can live in a new and wonderful world. And that world is a world I get to share with all you guys. And I'm so grateful for all of you, for the people that I call, for the people I haven't talked to yet. And just very, very grateful for this life that I have now with all of you. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Eileen S. Perfect. 2:30. Kelly M., we got time for you. About two
oh,
and
great.
A half minutes. Okay.
Great. This is Kelly N., and I'm
N.
in Pacific, yes, Pacific time, California. So this paragraph is great. What struck me most this morning, and I don't know that it struck me before, is, you know, all of these paragraphs leading up to it keep saying to me, I need to trust in God. I need to turn this over. You know, my dependence has to rely. And in this paragraph, there's four sentences, and each sentence tells me, I must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If I persist, that's walking day by day in the path of spiritual progress. And then when I put myself in God's hands, better things than I could ever have planned. And then following the dictates of the higher power. So all of these things are talking about, you know, what we need to do here, what I am, it's being like shot at me in a loving arrow with, you know, with roses and hearts all over it. Kelly, God is the director here. Turn it over and walk in peace and serenity. You don't have to fight it anymore. There's a plethora of people that are doing this path. We have tons of experience with recovered people who follow 12-step work. But, you know, the two things I must do are the work, the 12 steps, the path of spiritual progress, which is the path that we have chosen in this program. And I must rely on God. God is shoulder to shoulder to me, just like my fellows are. But it is not a program that I can get really smart in, which, oh, by the way, I have. I've memorized so much of this, and it has brought me nothing but a lot of memorization. Because when the going gets tough, I don't remember God and a 10-step call, which was like the worst of my tools and my steps was a 10th step.
Time.
I thought I could figure it out. Anyway, thank you for letting me share, and have a great day. Bye.
Thank you, Kelly. And I would like to thank all those who shared this morning. It was a really powerful share, and we will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Kathy Jo P. please read for us the vision for you?
This is Kathy Jo P., recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.